Praise God. We are, I was going to teach this week on what I started to teach on last week, and we went a totally different direction. And so that's what I planned on until a couple days ago, and it wasn't coming together. It just didn't set right. And so I've been reading, for the fifth or sixth time, I've been reading James Richards stuff for several years, a lot of why this church is, why we're here, why Wayne's alive, why I'm on fire for God is because of, the teaching of James Richards. It's not the man, it's the Word of God. It's just been giving us new understanding of what we have been teaching for many years. But I am on about my fifth or sixth time of a book called Anatomy of a Miracle. And so I just finished it up again this past week, and at the end of the book, there is a list of all the points he's making during the book. Now, what I would tell you is I believe every one of you should get this book and read it multiple times. That's what I believe. But I also know you won't. So when I was reading through this list, I just felt impressed that, this is what we're going to talk about this morning. And as I was, preparing the message yesterday, and when I was going through the list, meditating and thinking about how I was going to present it, it's just, every point, scripture just came, boom, 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 to prove, reinforce the point that he has made. And so that's what we're going to go over this morning. So I'm calling this message Preparing for a Miraculous Life, because, miracles should not be a one-time thing. We should be living in the miraculous, because that's who God made us to be. And you know what Mary Beth was talking about this morning? You may think, well, her testimony's no big deal. Well, in her brother's life, that's miraculous. If you need $20 and you don't have it and you receive it, that's miraculous. So it doesn't matter, whether it's a huge miracle, coming back from the dead, or whether if you need a miracle, whatever it is, that's what we want to have. That's what the life that we want to live. And it is possible to live in that life. That's what God designed us to live in. We are, we're in the dirt level compared to what God has for us for life. God has, just signs, wonders, miracles, just phenomenal life for us. Go back and read the Old Testament. We think, these great stories, but they really happened. Do you know, they're archaeologically, they're finding, they're proving the Bible is true over and over again. And yet we look at the Old Testament and these stories, these miraculous stories, and we think, yeah. That's the God we serve. When are we going to get a hold of this is the God that we serve? And this is what God did back then. He'll do it again for me. If it's just for me, God will do it. I was just reading a story about, I think it was Samuel, and proving his point to the Israelites about God. And he said, a thunderstorm. I think that's what he asked for, was a thunderstorm. And so reading the notes in the bottom of my Bible, and and he got the thunderstorm, And so it says something about the wheat harvest. And the notes, you think, well, big deal. But the notes in the bottom of my Bible says, this was totally, there was no rain at this point. So a thunderstorm at that point was a miracle. So it's like, how are you going to look at life? And then that's why we're doing this, be thankful. Because if you don't have an attitude of gratitude, you're never going to enter the miraculous. You have to have the right focus. We have to be looking in the right direction for the miraculous to be a part of your life, okay? So this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I have as I said, I would strongly encourage you either to take notes or go out and buy the book, and I don't think we have any of these. So you've got to find it yourself. So I think Amazon may carry it. I'm not sure. But, if you come in this congregation, this is your church, and you have been here over and over and over again, and you're not doing anything about this, you're in dangerous territory. And it's not because God's out to get you. God's not going to do anything negative. God's not going to harm you in any way. But you're just blowing it if you don't do anything. So if nothing else, start being thankful. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Preach it, sister. Yeah, you go. You go, girlfriend. Yeah. Is my whiteness showing? Okay, so let's get started here. Number one, there are no limits, just beliefs. Change a belief and you move the boundaries. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So it's all about our beliefs. I've told you this. You'll hear this over and over again. It's about what you believe. It's about what I believe. My life is a compilation of what I believe. Amen. If you don't like your life, then change your beliefs. You don't have to work on the outside. Start on the inside. Your beliefs are in your heart. Change your beliefs, and then your life will change, okay? The second one, nothing is too big. The size of the problem is only as big as the emotions you feel about the problem. We decide how big our problems are. You know what, to a teenager, you know, when I was in high school, in ninth grade, we had a girl in our class who committed suicide. The reason she committed suicide is because her boyfriend broke up with her. From our perspective, you know, big deal, you know. But if that's you, to a two-year-old, a two-year-old's problem and our problem, we think, that's not a problem. But it's where you see it. It's your perspective. How are you looking at life? That determines it. And it's not just how you look at it. It's as your emotions get involved. I've told you before. I'll tell you again. I have not arrived. And so with Wayne coming home, was at peace, and we did not like where Wayne was, but at least I was at peace because he was there and I was here. Okay? Well, then Friday he comes home, and he is using the BiPAP machine at night, and I was, when I was in the hospital with him, that's when everything fell apart, so I was part of that, and that was only a month ago, and so all this, I did not know what was normal for him with using the BiPAP, okay? I did not know, I just knew how bad things were when we started all this. So anyhow, so it's the first night that I have to use the BiPAP. I mean, a lot of you probably use CPAPs. Well, BiPAP is similar, just it does more than a CPAP does. So it's the same kind of thing. So if you use a CPAP, you may figure no big deal. But BiPAP does more and whatever. So, we come home and there I am by myself. And so I have to set this up and I don't know what I'm doing. And, they explain everything and all this. So I did not sleep very good Friday night. Let me put it that way. Because, my emotions got involved. I would wake up and, the anxiety starts up, and I would go in and check on him. And is he breathing normally? Is this how he's supposed to be? Is this how he's supposed to look? And try to wake him up. I couldn't wake him up. And so, casting all my care upon you. Casting all my care upon you. God, I cast all my care upon you. I'm casting down imaginations and every high thing and changing my focus. And that's how I spent my night. Well, we get up the next morning, he's fine. Everything was fine. He had a wonderful night's sleep. But that's where I was at that time. Now, I could have decided to just go and give in to the fear and just give in to the anxiety and just, give in, and allow my mind to go all the negative direction and all that, But I have learned and am learning, no, I cannot do that. If I allow those negative emotions to stay there and just focus on those negative emotions, then I am just going to go down and down and down, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's what I'm saying. This isn't some, if you look at this, it's just some, spiritual, Diane's doing her thing again, and, preaching, If that's how you look at this, then when you are in a crisis, because a crisis will come in your life, if it hasn't already, it will come, what in the world are you going to do in the middle of that crisis? Because you know what? You can have everybody in the world praying for you, but it's up to you what happens in that crisis. What's in your heart? This is literally, I've said this before, but this is life and death stuff. I just spent a month, going through a life and death situation with Wayne. Amen. And the reason he is alive, understand the reason he is alive is because we have started to do this stuff. Amen. So if I feel strongly about this and you have an issue with me this morning, it's your problem. I'm sorry. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. Okay, hallelujah. Where do we go? So we decide how big our problem is. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves. In other words, under the mighty hand of God. In other words, God, you're right. You're right. I don't understand this. You know, I don't feel righteous. I don't feel loved. I don't feel healthy. I don't feel like I'm walking in love. I don't care what you feel like. If God says it's true in your life, it's true. Amen. Decide, I'm wrong, God's right, I'm going to agree with God. Amen. And whether it feels like it or not, I am going to say, I'm going to do that confession that Wendy shared with you this morning. You know, I am walking in love. You know, I am full of power. I am anointed. I don't care how many symptoms you have. I am healed because Jesus paid the price and I don't have to be sick. You know what, the last thing when we was in Baptist, you know, it's just like, you know, you think, okay, we've been through it, and you know. So what happens the next time? Next thing, he brings it, you know, they bring a new patient into his room, and the guy's in there 2 days and gets the flu, first flu in the whole Baptist, and he's Wayne's roommate. But you know what? It was like, no biggie. Okay, I said, I'm not getting the flu. Wayne says, I'm not getting the flu. And then they have this stomach bug that's going around there too. I'm not getting the stomach bug. Wayne says, I'm not getting the stomach bug. So neither one of us are sick. But you know what? Most of the floor on Baptist is emptied out because they've shipped almost everybody on the floor to the hospital because they're sick. It shall not come nigh me. I don't care how many people has it. I don't care whether I wash my hands or not. I don't care if I rub my eyes. I don't care if I suck on my dirty fingers. I am full of health because Jesus said so.
Amen.
You either believe it or not. If you believe it, you're actually doing something about it. Do I wash my hands? Yes, I do. Because it's wisdom.
Amen.
But it's not going to determine that I have to be sick because I didn't wash my hands.
Amen.
Ah, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, woo, I'm happy this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm doing good. Okay. Okay, choose the end you want. You choose. There's nothing in your life that determines the end that you are experiencing, you know, that you are going to experience. You choose it. It does not matter how rich or how poor you are. Does not matter what your education level. Does not matter the color of your skin. Does not matter your background. Doesn't matter anything. Doesn't matter the economy, anything. The only thing that matters is what you decide. If it is lined up, if you're a child of God and what you decide you want in your life lines up with the word of God, then there is nothing that can stop you from having that happen.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11, what does that say? Wendy's not in here. Anybody else know? Yes. I know the plans I have for you, not to prosper you and to, you know, to bless you and, of thoughts of peace and not of evil. Give you a future and a hope. What does it tell us in James? It says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whose no variableness, no shadow in turning. If there's good in my life, it is God. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're a Hindu. I don't care if you're a Muslim. Whatever good comes into your life, the source is God.
Amen.
And if it's bad, then it's not God. It's either you or something else, but it's not God. God does not bring bad into our lives. And you got to get a hold of that. If you see that God is good sometimes, God allows bad things in your life, God causes bad things in your life, if that's what is part of your belief system, then you are not going to be able to move forward until you establish it. You know that you know that you know. God is good. God is only good. God will only bring good into my life. Until you reach that point, you are not going to operate in the miraculous. Okay, let's see. Next one. See it, imagine it, and experience it, and all its associated positive emotions in every possible way. You've heard this. Rob was just talking about this a week or so ago. He was sharing about this. It's we have to, and this is where meditation comes in. It's or you can, you know, fantasy. You know, I don't know if it's this book or another book. He's talking about, you know, pornography. And the whole power of pornography is fantasy. And you know what fantasy is? Fantasy is meditation. So we all, you fantasize. I don't care if it doesn't matter what you fantasize. There is, you know, we fantasize. We imagine things. We daydream. That's meditation. So you need to guide that. You need to focus on your fantasy, your meditation, your daydreaming, whatever you want to call it. To focus it in the right direction. Focus it on what you want in your life. Not on what you see in your life, but what you want in your life. But we do it. I mean, we choose, you know. Worry. That's fantasy. That's meditation. That's daydreaming. Whatever you want to call it. Do you want to have the positive in your life or the negative? Okay? Let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we don't look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are? They're subject to change. They're temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. We just want to tap into the unseen realm and bring whatever we need from the unseen realm into the seen realm. That's where our miracles are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Next one. Make the desired end more real than any opposing thought, feeling, circumstance, or evidence. Read that again. Make the desired end, whatever you want in your life, it needs to be more real than any opposing thought, feeling, circumstance, or evidence. This is where it takes the work. Believing is easy. Getting to believing, changing your believing, that's where the work is. And it's not a works thing, it's work. Amen. It's effort. Amen. You know, if you're used to, you know, if your mindset has been negative, if all you have seen is the negative, if all your life is about expecting the other shoe to drop, you know, this is good, but I know something's going to go wrong. You know, I'm going to, you know, if you're the Murphy's Law believer, you know, if your mindset is, you know, now this is going to go wrong, you know, this happened, but now this will go wrong. If that's your mindset, you have some work to do. You can't just have someone lay hands on you and, you know, Abba Shabba Kimababi, and it's all better. You have to retrain yourself. You have to, and it takes one moment, one hour, one day at a time. It takes work. You know, as I was telling you Friday night, you know, I'm laying in bed and my heart's pounding and you know, and I know this feeling, this is anxiety, and I know why. And I had the choice. I could lay there and just, you know, meditate and think about the negative, or I had to make the choice. No, I'm casting this off. God, I don't have to be anxious. This does not belong to, you know, this did not come from you. This is not mine. I don't have to experience this. And I put it off. I cast it on you. I give it away. Amen. Did it happen in one time? No, it took multiple times. And sometimes, if you have something ingrained in you, it may take a long time. But it's, you have to keep being determined, and you have to keep fighting it, and you have to keep speaking it, and you have to keep changing your thinking, and you have to keep refocusing. Amen. And you have to tell your mind, we're not going there. You know, if you had a bad experience with somebody, somebody offended you, you know, you had an argument with somebody, your spouse, your kid, whatever, and you just, you know, you're prone to thinking, you know, and just rerunning that argument over in your mind, and I'm not going to forgive them because they were wrong. If that's your mindset, you're never going to move forward.
Amen.
You have to make a choice, and you have to say, I am not going there. I choose to forgive. This is not who I am. This does not belong to me. I send it away. That's what it is. Sending it away. I don't want it. And if you're tempted to do it again, no, this is not who I am. I am a child of the Most High God. I am full of love and peace and righteousness and joy. This is who I am. I send it away. Like I said, it may take over and over and over and over again with some things. Some things, you know, boom, it's gone. Some things over and over and over again.
Amen.
But do I want a more prosperous life? Do I want to live in the miraculous?
Amen.
And you say, oh, it's too hard. No, it's not too hard. You just decided you're not going to do it. Nothing is too hard. You have the power of the Most High God within you. You are full of life and health. You are full of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever say I can't, because it's a lie.
Yes.
It's just you making an excuse. We never can say, I can't forgive. No, I'm not willing to forgive. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to get out of this sin. I enjoy this sin. You know, like he was saying a while back I don't remember, know if you remember that video when he was talking about, you know, talking to God about his sin. Okay, God, you know, I want this sin out of my life, but you know what? I actually like, I like it. This is why it's in my life, because I like it. That's what the word says. But not now, Rob. Hold on to it. Okay. Praise God. Where are we here? Let's see. 1 Corinthians. Did we read this one? Nope, we didn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And we leave it there and we think, oh, well, I don't know. But God, But God, keep reading, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. It's not that, I don't know what God's going to do. You know, that's, you know, I don't know what God's going to do. God works in mysterious ways. I don't know. Well, get alone with God and tap into the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons why we read the Word of God, is to know what God is actually saying. And God is saying, I want the best for you. Didn't he start man out in the Garden of Eden? How could you get a life better than that? And if you think that God wants bad things in your life, well, then go back and look at what Adam and Eve had before they sinned. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants your life to be like. He doesn't want pain in your life. What good does pain do? What good does sickness do? How in the world? No, but you don't think about God when you're sick. You think about you. You focus on you. Can you minister to anybody when you're sick? No, you don't want to. You just think about you. How in the world can we say that God teaches us things through sickness? No, it's a lie. It's a lie. Religious lie. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see here. Where are we? Next one. Never think of the desired end as something in the future. It must be present tense. If it's in the future, it is not faith. It is what? Nope. Hope. Hope is always future. Hope is a sure thing that's going to come to pass. Faith is now. Hebrews 11:1, someone say it. Now faith is? Okay, faith is. Faith is now. Now faith is. God is now. God is the great I am. Not the I will be, not the I was. God is I am. If we're following God, if we're living in Christ, then we are always in the present. Always in the present. And that's something else we have, you know, you have to work on. You know, it's one of those things that I'm working on, to be in the present, you know. When I start thinking about, you know, with Wayne and stuff, you know, this has to be done, and how am I going to do this? Where are we going to get the money for this? And the other, you know. But no, now. I just have to do what is right now. I just have to deal with what is right in front of me now. You know, it's amazing, and you know, a lot of you have been through this. You know, you have all this stuff to do, and you're this and this and this, and you're just so busy, yada yada yada. And then someone close to you gets sick or they die. And what happens? Everything goes out the window. The only thing that matters is the person. The only thing that matters in life is people. Nothing else matters. Now that doesn't mean, you know, you understand where I'm coming from. But we have to get a hold of that. If it's a choice between stuff, busyness, you know, and people, we need to choose people, because God says people are the most important. You know, some of you animal lovers, you know, I mean, I have animals, I love animals, but when animals become more important than people, you are contrary to God. You have got an issue. You have got a heart issue. When people are less important than animals. That's just something side that, you know, you can throw that away, whatever, wherever you are. Okay, next one. Harmonize your words, thoughts, feelings, and actions. This is the definition of faith. When you harmonize your words, your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions, that's how you to know you are in faith. And we're not in faith until all of those harmonize. When we get to that point, then it's going to happen. Whatever it is we're believing for, then it's going to happen. Harmonize your words, your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. And you don't have to, you know, the actions are the last thing. You know, when you harmonize, when your words and your thoughts and your feelings are lined up, the actions just come. Amen. You act on what you believe. We can act on what we don't believe. You know, how does it go now? We can act on what we don't believe. But, I forget how it goes. There's two ways of seeing it. You can, but you don't, yes. You will act on what you believe. Okay, forget it. It's out there. Yeah, but you will act on what you believe. So whatever you're doing, however you're living your life, that's what you believe. However you're spending your money, that's what you believe. Whether you're a giver or not a giver, that's what you believe. You know, whatever you're doing, your life is based on what you believe. And you say, no, it's not. Well, yes, it is. We automatically do. You know, there's variations, yeah. Yeah, we can force ourselves to do things for a while. You know, we may be changing our beliefs, so we may go back and forth. But we live our lives based on what we believe. So once again, look at yourself. You know, as I said a couple weeks ago, yeah. Be honest with yourself. Look at yourself and be honest with yourself and say, you know what? I can say all the right things, but what my life says, I'm not believing it. You know, so that's why, you know, we can say all the right things. You know, and for years, you know, your confession, you know, you go to church and someone, how you doing? I'm praise God, hallelujah, I'm blessed and highly favored, I'm yeah. But I'm on 6 medications, you know, I'm in debt, you know, but in church, yeah, I'm praise God, hallelujah, blah, 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 blah. There's no condemnation, there's no judgment. It's not like you're, you know, there's something wrong with you, you're an awful person or anything. But let's be honest with ourselves and not try to pretend we're something, we're somewhere where we're not. I understand not dumping all your garbage on, you know, all this stuff. But going through this stuff, recognizing when I'm sitting down with a doctor, yes, this is what we're dealing with. This is the symptoms, you know. This is where we are. This is not where I want to be. This is not where God says I'm supposed to be. But this is where I am right now, and this is what I need to deal with. If I need medication to stay alive until I can change my believing and, you know, have the miraculous, then take medication. Do what you need to do. But just be honest with yourself and God, this is where I am. God, I don't want to be here. God, I know you have a better life for me. I need your help. But don't try to pretend you're somewhere that you're not. It doesn't help you.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Mark 11, chapter 22, yeah, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. You have faith in something. Is it you're going to have faith in God?
Amen.
You're going to have the God kind of faith?
Amen.
But we all live our lives by faith.
Amen.
What faith is believing. Faith is trust. So we all believe in something. We all believe, whether we believe in the government, whether we believe in our jobs, whether, you know, whatever, we believe. It's just, are we believing what God says our lives are supposed to be like, or are we just believing? But we all live by faith, okay? Have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says, not of what God says, but what he says, whatever you're saying, just through ordinary life, that's what's going to happen in your life. You're going to bring more of whatever you're speaking into your life. The good, the bad, the ugly, whichever it is. He says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Once again, whatever we are speaking just through ordinary life, you know, then that's what we're getting in our lives. Next one, eradicate all doubt, belief in an opposing reality by focusing on the desired end. So doubt is going back and forth. Doubt is, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago too. Doubt is, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. And then we go back to, no, I'm sick and this hurts and this is hurting more. And what do I, you know, what do I have? And so-and-so had this. I better look up on the internet. You know, what's that symptom checker thing? Yeah. I believe God. No, God says, no. No, oh, boy, this really hurts. You know, what am I going to do? I believe God, I believe God. That's doubt. Back and forth, back and forth. Don't think you're in faith if that's where you are. Don't condemn yourself. Don't feel guilty. Don't put yourself down. Just once again, recognize this is where I am. And we need more work to do. We have more persuading to do. You know, that's what, you know, what we used to call confession is actually persuasion. I need to persuade myself what God says about me, okay? When I reach that point, then it's going to get better. James chapter 1, verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Once again, just be honest with yourself. If this is where you are, it's okay. God loves you. God wants best for you. But you're going to have to put in some effort to get yourself in faith and actually believing.
Amen.
Never fight against doubt and negative feelings. Focus on the desired end. You know, we spent years with this, you know. We were either attacking Satan or you focus on the negative and I will not think that. You know, I got cast down, you know, I put that down. You know, and focusing on the negative instead of focusing on the answer.
Amen.
You want to change your perspective faster? You want to change your feelings faster? Focus on the answer. Christ in me, the hope of glory. God is love. I am in Christ, so I am love. You know, I just yelled at my kids. You know, no, but I am love. This is who I am. That's not who I am. I am love. I am at peace, but I don't feel peace. No, I am at peace. I am full of joy. You know, I am healthy. I am prosperous. Focus on the answer. You want to change your believing? Focus on the answer, the new believing. Don't fight the negative. You just get, you know, whatever you focus on, that's what gets bigger in your life. That's just a scientific fact. That's not a, you know, Bible fact. It's just, you know, it's the truth. Whatever we focus on, it gets worse. You know, they've proven it scientifically. You have pain, you focus on the pain gets worse. You have pain, you do something to focus in a different direction, and the pain, you know, it actually, physically, this is what your body's doing. Whatever you focus on, that part of your body is, you know. Yeah. Science is proving that the Bible is true. Amen. Negative feelings will change when your focus is changed. You know, like I said the other night, you know, it's, you know, dealing with this stuff and dealing with anxiety and stuff, you know, get up the next morning and, you know, find out Wayne's fine. There's no more anxiety. You know, it's just, phew. Why? Because my focus has changed. My perspective has changed. Amen. That's true in life. Wherever we focus, that's what's going to get bigger in our life. Amen. Eradicate doubt by reconnecting to the positive feelings associated with the desired end. Once again, this takes work. Okay, say I'm sick. Okay, no, I see myself, you know, whatever it is, I see myself healthy. You know, I see myself doing, you know, and just focusing on the answer, the health, whatever it is, the money that I need, whatever it is, focusing on what life would be like when the prayer is answered, when I have fulfillment of what I need. It takes work. It takes effort. That's not easy. Amen. If any of you have tried it, you know it's not easy. No. But it is doable. Amen. By grace, by the power of God. Yes. You know, you say, I can't. Well, learn to tap into the grace of God. You know, Wayne and I just used it this morning, you know. Well, I won't go into detail. But anyhow, we are learning to use grace. Grace, the ability, God's ability in me to do what I can't do on my own. Tap into grace. It will take you over quickly. Next one. Make your mind work for you, not against you. Change your thoughts and your feelings will change. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Well, I don't know what that means. Think about good stuff. What are you going to think about? You know, if it said this before, you know, if watching the news gets you in fear, gets you angry, then don't watch the news. Whatever moves you in a negative direction, if at all possible, stay away from it. I know sometimes it's the people living in your house, and you can't really get away. Earplugs, yeah, nothing else works, yeah. But there is a way for you to get through, over, under, whatever it is. If you feel you don't see how you can do it, there is a way. Amen. What does the word tell us? You know, there's no temptation taking you as much as common to man. But God with the temptation, God doesn't bring the temptation. But when you're tempted, when there's problems, God makes a way of escape. Amen. But so much of the time, we just, you know, this is what I've got to get put up with. Or we get sucked into this, whatever the situation is, whether, you know, whatever the negative, you know, we get sucked into it because we haven't been doing anything about changing our beliefs, you know, changing our hearts. It's going to take effort. Amen. But your lives can be totally so much better. What does it tell us in Proverbs 23:7? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This reemphasizes what I've been saying. Mental rehearsal molds and grows new circuits in the brain. So whatever you know, actually changes your brain. Whatever you're thinking about actually changes your brain. That's a scientific fact. They have proven that. The brain's frontal lobe controls other parts of the brain. The image you hold of yourself controls what your brain does to affect the rest of your body. See and speak the desired end. You don't like what you have in life? Well, then change what you're thinking. Change what you're speaking. And it's not to convince. Your speaking is not to convince somebody else. Your speaking is to convince you. You don't have to preach to somebody else and tell them, you know, praise God, you know, as I said before, you know, it's no. I need to persuade myself. I need to change my thinking. I don't need to change anybody else's thinking. I need to change mine. And so that's you know, generally with other people, just keep your mouth shut. The more we talk, the more we're likely to get into sin anyway, so. Okay, and next one, organize your life for the miracle that is on its way. Always develop the heart. Beliefs of the heart are at least 5,000 times more powerful than thoughts of the brain. Once again, you know, I've told you this before. It's the I forget the, is it 12 feet? I forget the, your heart is affecting the area around you. I think it's like a 12 feet in diameter. Your heart is actually affecting that. Yes, science, once again, is proving that the Bible is true. Over and over again. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live, not die, not suffer, not be miserable, live. Proverbs chapter 4, 21, 23, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. It takes effort, for out of it spring the issues of life. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You know, we see that and we just spiritualize that verse. No, it just, he says he believes, and out of his heart there's life. There's you know, it's not just a trickle. There's rivers of life are flowing out of us when we're believing in the right things, when we're believing what God has said. Acts chapter 15, 8. So God who knows the heart acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. Samuel, in the book of Samuel, it says, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. We need to get a hold of this. What we believe is in our heart. Our soul, our heart is made up of our soul and our spirit. If we're born again, our spirit is taken care of. We don't have to deal with our spirit. That's where the source of life is. We have to deal with the soul part of us, the us part of us, where all those wrong beliefs are. That's what we need to focus on. But it's all part of the heart. Next one, daily renew your core beliefs, love, hope, and faith. 1 Corinthians 13, 13, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 5, 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So renew faith, hope, and love. That's what we need to focus on, faith, hope, and love. Amen. Faith is now, hope is future, love is who I am. Amen. Praise God. Next one, daily release all feelings and thoughts of fear, condemnation, and doubt. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off, put on. Put off. Okay, as I'm giving you multiple examples. You know, I put off, you know, as I said with me the other night, put off anxiety. This is not, I don't have to experience anxiety. I don't have to experience fear. This is not who I am. It's not who you are. If you feel, you know, you get those feelings of that tenseness in your chest and your heart starts beating a little fast, those are anxiety. You need to recognize this is what it is. I don't have to experience it. It's not God telling me about some issue. No, it's inside of me. It's something I'm thinking in the wrong direction. I'm believing in the wrong direction. I don't have to experience this. I don't have to live with this. I put it off. I send it away. Whatever you can use your imagination, you take it and you throw it away. You kick it out, whatever. Use a balloon, whatever, you know, imagery, whatever works for you, but get it out. Amen. And then along with that, I put on. What does Jesus say? I have peace. Peace belongs to me. Peace that passes understanding. God will keep me in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on him. That's another verse I was using Friday night. No, I am focusing on God because that's where the peace is. Focusing on God and his, you know, what God has done for me. That's where the peace is. It's not thinking about what can go wrong with Wayne and what's this wrong, you know, when how's it, you know. No, focusing on the answer. Amen. That's where my peace is. Glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. So put off, put on. Be thankful about everything. Next one. When your miracle manifests, don't feed your ego by taking the credit. Be thankful. Boy, does this sound familiar. To a benevolent creator who created the world and all that exists to make it possible for you to live the life of your choice. Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 and 17. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything, give thanks. Praise God. Hallelujah.